You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At The Podium. This is episode 17, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. Of course, it's the usual triple threat of press conferences for this show. First up is Doug Peterson after the 24-0 win against the Washington Redskins in Week 17 action that helped push the Eagles into the playoffs. Then Nick Foles discusses his performance, including tying the record with 25 consecutive completions. And then Doug Peterson's press conference from today covers Nick Foles' health with his bruised ribs, and he drew some parallels between the win over the Los Angeles Rams and the upcoming playoff game with the Chicago Bears. We'll be hitting the content hard this week. I'm already knee-deep in Bears film, and you're going to get your regular lineup of shows with a total of four previews, maybe more, coming your way this week on the Bleeding Green Nation feed. We look forward to covering the playoffs from every angle, so stay tuned and look out for new shows dropping throughout the week. But for now, let's go to the podium.
You know, it's a lot of hard work. Excuse me, a lot of hard work that just paid off. And you know, it's what we set out to do. Obviously, you know, we did obviously this journey. We didn't meet a lot of our goals, but one of them is to get into the postseason, and we were able to do that. And so we're excited for that. I do not. Not yet, no.
So describe the way this team played the second half of the season compared to the first half of the season and how that put you.
Yeah, you know, it's 16 games, it's a journey. It's a long season. We try to take them one at a time. And this team obviously went through a lot of adversity early in the year. We were without some of our starters first part of the year. And then, you know, injuries began to pile up on us. But, you know, this team really hung together. I credit the leadership of the team, the coaches, just keeping the guys focused on one game at a time. And this last half, things began to kind of click for us. And, you know, the guys just got better as each week came. And to do what we've done here this last month and a half is credit to the guys.
So describe that moment when the clock was in the Bears-Vikings game. What did you tell the team right after that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of excitement, a lot of jubilation in the locker room, and just told the guys congratulations. We're in the postseason, and you know, I told them exactly, you know, what I mentioned earlier. You know, we set out to get yourself into the tournament. They've done that, and you know, we just got another opportunity next week.
You
I mean, you know, it's obviously you can look back on it and do a lot of what ifs, but, you know, bottom line is we gave ourselves an opportunity. We had to win this game tonight. The guys, you know, played a dominating performance and took care of our end. And, you know, we're just excited to continue our season.
Is there something to be said for playing your best football at this point in the season?
I think so. You know, I think you start the year trying to figure yourself out just a little bit, trying to see who you are, what your identity is going to be. And, you know, and then on top of that, we threw in a bunch of injuries. So we're playing with a bunch of new guys, new faces. And I think this team is playing better this time of year. You know, we just we're just fortunate and happy to be playing one more week. Just a swarming defense tonight. I thought they really got after, you know, the quarterback. They controlled the line of scrimmage, shut the run down, which is something we talk about all the time. And, you know, anytime you can put pressure on a quarterback and just make him, throw from different spots or not in rhythm, gives yourself a chance. And then defense just played fast and really swarmed around tonight.
Nick tied a league record for 25 straight completions during the game. He looked very, very settled. I'm assuming he's well. He's going into the postseason a lot hotter than he did last year. I mean, his last couple of games last year weren't as settled. But do you feel really good about where he is, if he's your quarterback?
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to understand that he started the first two games of the year, and he played all the preseason. So he's had a lot more time out on the field this year than he did last year. We're comfortable, but at the same time, we can continue to get better. And I'm happy for Nick, obviously, for that completion, tying it. It's credit to him, but we'll get ready to play next week.
Can you speak to your confidence in Nate Sudfeld and kind of what he showed you on that scoring drive?
We talked right before that drive and just told him, we're gonna start settling him in with a couple of runs. And then he mentioned to me about, trying to move the pocket, and that's what it was on the touchdown pass to Nelson. And he did a nice job. Came in there, he was poised. He was excited to get in the game and did some nice stuff.
Were you guys scoreboard watching during the game? The fans, you could see the fans.
I know the fans were, and from time to time, I think it was on the score was up, but quite frankly, I was locked into the game, but can't say everybody was.
Nick took a big hit reports last week. Is it the same area?
I'll find out more once I talk to the medical team. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, how important has Aaron Fogle been since he's come back? I mean, he seems like he's been that spark in the running back group. Have you talked about that?
Darren's a true professional. He's a leader in that room, a veteran player. It's exciting to see him out there and doing the things he's capable of doing and helping our team. And he's just done some really nice stuff. And I'm excited and happy for him. One, now he gets to experience the postseason. He missed it last year, obviously, and I'm happy for him.
No, when you guys were 4-6, you really could have been bloated. What did you tell the guys? Or what did you see that kind of kept you from falling
apart? We just kept staying the course. We had to just continue to trust the process, our process in Philadelphia. And that's come to work every day and roll up your sleeves and get better. Just get 1% better each day. And the guys did that. I entrusted our leadership of the team, the veteran players, and they responded and responded well the second half of the year.
Good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
How are you?
I'm sore. We're going to continue to figure out what's going on. We're going to find out more about what's going on in the morning. So, ribs area. So, like I said, I don't really have a lot of information right now. So tomorrow will be a big day.
Who's the carrying
sack? Yeah.
Congratulations on the.
In terms of the what was the moment like in the locker room when you guys found out?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a crazy year. It was really special as we were waiting for the other game to finish after we had taken care of business on the field. It's super exciting. I mean, anytime you're blessed to be able to play in the playoffs, and especially the road we've had these last several weeks, I mean, it hasn't been an easy ride. And, we got some help today. And, it's really special. We get to keep playing. We get to wear the Eagles jersey one more time. I'm really excited. The locker room's super excited, and it'll be hard to sleep tonight.
Can you talk about the resiliency of this team in the spot that you guys were in a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I think the big thing I've talked about is there was never a quitting attitude. I mean, though we might not have been winning all the games we wanted to, guys never gave up, never wavered. We just kept working, kept believing, kept communicating with one another, and sometimes it just takes time. We talk about adversity, going through adversity, it just shows that if you stick together, you lean on one another, you can do great things. So we got to keep doing that.
Was the adversity surprising at all?
Nothing surprises me playing football. You go through so many emotions. You get to see so many different things. I mean, you have so many different people coming together from different backgrounds to, achieve a common goal. The key is, how do you come together and face adversity with one another? And we've experienced that. But the beautiful thing about the Eagles is, we're able to bring everyone together and be on the same page to, really attack the adversity. When we see adversity, we know what's going on. And then that's where we really lean on each other and keep going.
You tied an NFL record with 25 straight completions at one point in this game. But what kind of role were you on? What were you feeling like?
I mean, I honestly had no idea that I had completed that many in a row. And, like, I was just playing, like I say, playing the play. And then, you know, later found out the one that I missed on was the one I double clutched and just threw a horrible pass. But we scored the next play, so it wasn't meant to be. But I don't know. I was just in the zone, you know, started out early, you know, early pick, bad decision, ball got away. That's on me. But that's adversity that we talk about. And, you know, we just kept sticking together, kept communicating on the sidelines. And, you know, ultimately we were able to put together a lot of great drives, a lot of long drives that, you know, anytime you can hold the ball, keep marching, convert on third downs, convert on fourth down, that's big for our team and our rhythm.
Speaking of which, have you ever been part of a 12-minute drive?
I don't know. That was a long one. That was a really long one. And, you know, it's not easy to do. You know, the guys did a great job executing the plays. We kept, you know, staying inside the chains. There wasn't a lot of huge plays on that drive, but we were able to execute when we needed to and ultimately allowed our defense to just rest and then, you know, go down and score.
Describe the crowd, because we could hear them chanting every time the Bears score came up. It felt like a home game out there. Describe that.
I mean, the Eagles fans are unbelievable. I've said it before. I know we're not at the link, but playing at the link, running out of the link is there's nothing like it. And then, you know, you make this the link today. They were out there. They were loud. The support, I mean, the whole stadium was green. And that's always huge. It'll be big this week coming up. Our fans give us such amazing support, and, you know, we love it.
During this game, when you were at the field, how aware were you of the score the other day?
I wasn't really paying attention. I mean, I know they kept popping up, but I looked away. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to affect my, you know, what was going on in our game. I really wanted to stay focused on, you know, winning this game. I didn't want to let them back in. I thought, you know, the Redskins defense, you know, that's who I was competing against. They did a good job tonight. They were playing hard. They were showing different looks. That's a good defense. Not yet. Not right now. I'm just going to sort of live in the moment right now. Obviously, they're a great team. I know Coach Nagy. He's one of my favorite people in the world. When they hired him, I knew right away that he was going to be an outstanding hire, and he has been. So once I get to film, study them a little bit more. But, I mean, I know that, you know, they're one of the best teams in the NFL, so it's going to be a tall task.
What's the biggest thing?
I think the thing that I always admire, you know, Doug's in this category, Nagy's in this category, Andy Reid, they're genuine. Like, they are who they are. I mean, I went to training camp, you know, signed late to Kansas City, went to get my physical, and was dropped off at Nagy's house, and I believe Overland Park, because it was his off day, and I had known him from my rookie year. I got to spend time with his family, hang out, and then I drove back with him, and I didn't have a car, so he let me use his car in training camp. So I could get from place to place, and he just rode with a coach. I mean, that's who he is. And not only, you know, as a person, but as a coach, he's unbelievable. So I admire him. I'm proud of him. It'll be fun to compete against him.
You're a tough guy. What will it take to keep you out of this game?
Oh, you know, my plan is to get ready to roll. That's my plan. Obviously, we still have to look into a lot of different things tomorrow. But, you know, it's unfortunate I couldn't finish the game today. But – you know, I'm ready. You know, I want to get this thing going. I don't want to, you know, I want to wear that jersey, you know, one more time and hopefully more. But, you know, all we have guaranteed is, you know, this week. So, once again, just staying in the moment and taking care of what I got to take care of now.
A couple more questions. This team has suffered in the last couple of years. How is the football team, especially from a mental standpoint, just following all things? Now you're back in the playoffs again.
You said from injuries and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a resilient team. I think it goes from, you know, leadership down. I mean, that's what, you know, creates the environment. And when a guy's injured, you see guys, you know, rally around the new guy. And then even the guy who's injured is there supporting. And we've seen that with this team. And that's something that's very special and you don't see everywhere. So it's a resilient group. Like I've said, I enjoy every day I get to go to the NovaCare facility and work with every single person in that facility. And I'm excited we were able to earn one more week of it.
Nate, what would you take from last year's playoff experience? And what would you try to implement into this year, anything?
I think the big thing, I learned a lot last year, and I talk about it, just staying in the moment. It's a big stage. I mean, it's the playoffs. We're going to go against one of the best teams in the NFL at their place. It's a big stage. So just staying in the moment, controlling what we can control. You know, not, like I said, don't worry about the score. Just play. We have a lot of preparation coming up. So when I simplified things like that last year, it helped a lot, and I've learned a lot more since. So I'm going to, you know, pull on everything I know to get ready this week.
Take one more from Bob, and then we're going to go.
If this were a playoff game, could you have finished?
I would do everything I can to get back out there. So it's a hypothetical question that I'm not going to answer, but it was a very nice try. I thought that's a less usually would ask that question, but you know, it was good. But I, you know, you try to.
Les, could you ask that question? What kind of test are you going to have tomorrow? Can you say,
like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to take care of business, get ready.
What's the pain level like
that? It's sore. You know, and but I'm like I said, I'm optimistic. I feel like we'll get this thing situated, and you know, my goal is to be out there and play.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck. Thank y'all.
Got your laundry list of players.
I got one.
Good afternoon.
Who starts at quarterback on Sunday?
Nick.
How's he feeling today?
Feeling good.
Do you have to manage him at all this week because of it?
Well, you know, Wednesday again will be a walkthrough, so you know, there's nothing real taxing there. It's just more mental reps, and then Thursday we'll. As the week goes, we'll I don't want to say cut him loose, but yeah, we'll take care of him and make sure he's ready for Sunday.
What did the test show as far as his, you know, ribs, chest area is concerned?
I didn't see him. I don't know what it said, what it read, what it looked like. I don't know.
Obviously, you signed to start him though, based on.
Yeah, everything was good. It was clear.
That you're doing. It seems like it really paid off in this last game. Did you see that, especially with the defense really came out with their legs on them?
Yeah, it's something I've done now the last couple of weeks. And quite frankly, just it's a little more rest. You get guys that are nicked up that maybe wouldn't practice Wednesday normally that can actually get some mental reps. You know, we know the guys are going to be in the game, so we want to make sure that they can still get the rep on Wednesday. And allows us to get twice as many, you know, plays in, and so it's been good. Guys have responded well, and you know, it's something that this time of year is good for us.
What's the word on Carson Wentz? Will he practice this week?
I don't have any further updates on Carson at this time.
Is it fair to say or safe to say that Nick's going to be your quarterback as long as you win?
For this week.
I mean, is there any scenario where...
There's no guarantee we're going to win this game.
I understand. I'm just saying if, you know.
Yeah, I'll evaluate next Monday.
So you started this.
Yeah. I know. Thanks. Thanks for trying.
You started this most recent stretch with a tough road win against a really good team, and you're facing sort of a similar situation this week. Tough road game, really good team. What do you think you all can take from that experience in L.A. or you know, just turning things around there and employ this week to kind of use?
I think there's some great lessons that we can learn as a football team. You know, going into obviously a hostile environment against good football teams, offense and defense, special teams included. You know, obviously now it's heightened because it is the playoffs. You know, and it's a wild card round against a team that you know, defensively has really kind of, you know, state to claim. I mean, they're, you know, they're creating turnovers. They're getting after the quarterback. I mean, you look at that game yesterday, and you know, Vikings game, they're getting after Kirk Cousins, and you know, it's another challenge. But I think going into LA against that defense, you know, and against that offense prepares us for opportunities like this. I even go back to the New Orleans game where, yeah, we didn't win the game, but I think learning from that type of environment as well, you know. You know, we came up short in the Cowboy game down there in overtime, but I think those are all lessons that we can learn on how to finish, how to be prepared against good football teams, and being able to take that on the road.
You have chosen not to put Carson on IR. From the outside looking in, it seems like that was maybe sort of a backup plan in case something happened to Nick. So have you talked to Carson? Has there been any thought of letting him try to practice this week?
I have not talked to Carson today, and no.
Doug, how much from the experience that you guys went through last year in the playoffs, how much can you pull from that now, and how much of an advantage can that be for this team right now?
I think you can draw some conclusions, some parallels from that. I think the team how, you know, the biggest difference now is that obviously we have to go on the road. Last year we had the luxury of having a bye and then, of course, playing at home for possibly two games. So we understand that we're on the road. But having guys that have been through it, I think the heightened sense of awareness, the urgency, the sort of the, you know, it's a do or die, you know, backs against the wall mentality. I think those are all things that we can definitely draw from last year's postseason run, you know, now into this game.
And so just to confirm, is Nate Sudfeld the number two on Sunday against the Bears?
As of right now.
Doug,
fair enough. Sorry, don't get nervous.
your history with Matt and Mike Grode knows Vic Fangio really well. This is not an opponent you play all that often, but does that help in preparation that you guys know the coaching staff pretty well?
I think so. You know, we played them last year. I know it's a different head coach, different offense, but defensively it was very similar, you know, the year before. And yeah, I think, you know, there's definitely some – and having played Kansas City last year, I think you can draw some parallels there a little bit. And then, of course, what they're doing this year, you know, in not only in KC but in Chicago with Coach Nagy. And, you know, he does a good job of moving his guys around you know, Cohen's all over the place and he's a challenge. He's a load. But, you know, I think back to the Rams game and a lot of their moving parts, and it kind of goes back to the question earlier, how we were able to handle some of the moving parts there with the LA game, I think can help us, you know, moving forward in this game.
Do you met Nagy see offense similarly?
Whoa.
Sorry.
Wow. Go ahead.
It's hard to get a question in here.
I know. Just boom. Right out of left field. Yeah. All right. Say that again. Sorry.
You and Matt Nagy see offense similarly, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Obviously, you know, I mean, you can draw parallels from Coach Reed. We both, you know, kind of learned under him. And so I know Matt is very, you know, he definitely is an aggressive coach. He's got an aggressive mindset. You know, and he's very creative, and that's what you're seeing on tape and in games, and so I think there's some similarities there. But you know, you always have to sort of adapt to your person, your personnel, and your personality as a team, and that's what he's been able to do, and it's been successful for him, and would expect much of the same.
Along those same lines, Doug, have you given any thought as to why Andy's coaching tree has had the type of success that it has?
Yeah, I get asked that a little bit from time to time. I just think that, you know, one of the things that Andy has kind of instilled in as assistant coaches is just a work ethic, a drive. I mean, you know, you got to put in the hard work and preparation. I say that a lot to the players, but I'm also speaking to the coaches. You got to spend time, you know, and studying your opponents, and especially as play callers. But, you know, if your assistant coaches aren't prepared and detailed during the week, it's going to carry over, obviously, to their position. And sometimes, you know, that can affect the outcome of the game. But I think one of the things that Andy really does a good job and a great job of is how well he prepares his assistant coaches to just coach and teach and sort of hit the ground, you know, running a little bit. You know, it's paid off, obviously, in my case and now in Matt's case.
Doug, in 2016, you were one of a bunch of coaches hired, and you're the last guy standing of that group. did you follow that group? Because you were kind of being compared with those guys for a long time.
All I can remember, I think I was seventh of seven that year. That's all I remember. No. You got to have confidence in your ability. And you know, I'm not going to speak for the other guys, but I had a lot of confidence in myself. I felt like you have to surround yourself with really, really good assistant coaches, good coordinators, and guys that love ball and love to teach. And you know, that's obviously something I learned from Mike Holmgren and Andy. And you know, again, I can't speak for the others, but that's just what I know. And then having the ability in myself and confidence in myself to lead and to teach and to get guys to play. You know, I feel like if that's good enough, it's good enough.
Can you talk about the value on what
guys like Fletcher Cox and Malcolm Jenkins have meant to you guys, especially over these last 6 weeks, you know, just holding everything together, both off the field and with their play on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's really good to see both of those guys, leaders of the team, both on the, you know, my committee, and guys that you know, after New Orleans, quite frankly, you know, rose up and challenged the guys to, you know, it's time to go. We got to get this fixed. And you know, they're obviously valuable on the football field, but off the field as well, in their roles, whether they're, you know, talking to young players or bringing somebody along and you know, kind of showing them how to win. And that's important too. And it's great to have both those guys, you know, on the team.
Is given the Knicks situation coming back from getting banged up a little bit, do you anticipate this being like a normal reps week for Nate, or just scout team only, or might you even throw him in for a couple more?
I would anticipate a normal week, you know, for both those guys in that capacity. You know, it's hard to say until we really get to Thursday, but you know, right now I'd anticipate being the same.
No practice, just walk through again on Wednesday.
Yes, walk through again.
This will be the second postseason in a row where Carson Wentz has to watch, most likely. Is there anything to be gained from that? And if not, then
well, I mean, I think, yeah. I mean, you know, Carson, you've talked to him. You know, he wants to be out there and be with his team, and you know, it is unfortunate that it's not that case. But right now, he's being very supportive, and he's healing, and he's doing everything he can to help Nick, and you know, that's his role right now.
Coach, there's been several different messages this week, or this year rather. The new norm, embrace the target, pressure's off, to name a few. Now that you're playing your best football heading into road playoff situations, what's the message now?
Doesn't have to change. Message does not have to change. You know, we still gotta be focused, we still gotta have faith, we still gotta believe. You know, so you know, when I said the new norm, I mean the new norm is just that. I mean, we expect to be playing, you know, in the postseason each year, and it doesn't matter how you get in, whether you go, you know, 13-3 to 9-7. If you get a chance to get in, you get in, and you see what happens. And so from that standpoint, I just want the guys to understand that the guys that are going to be here, that's why we train in the off season and training camp and put all that time in for moments now like this. This is what you play for, and you get a chance to be in this tournament and again compete and you know, play for another world championship if possible, and that's what I want our guys to expect.
Do you have a chance to get somebody like Sidney Jones or Mike Wallace in this week, you think?
Both those guys are doing well. I think, you know, Mike will continue to do the individual stuff. Sidney is a little more day-to-day, but you know, still a little bit of a long shot. Isaac will actually get a few more reps this week. We'll see where he's at. Is that you or who? That's you?
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.